There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Wait a second, is that a ghost?
Whoa.
Oh,
horny ghost.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Thank you.
What a scary ghost.
Crazy ghost.
Scary. Oh no, it's just me after eating a cheese and pickled toasty.
Oh,
2 a.m. You did it though. I'm stealing your story, but I'm also having some pretty British dumps recently.
You had a cheese and pickled toasty at 2 a.m. yesterday?
I had a cheese and pickled toasty at 2 a.m.
What
last
were you
night.
Thinking, man?
I was thinking I love cheese and I love pickles and I love Scotland, so let me see how it all comes together. And you know how it comes together? A dump that smells like ammonia.
I believe it.
I have not had, we're starting the episode hardcore in it, but listen, we're in Europe, you have to understand, I have not had a dump darker than a light tan in about 5 days, right. And I don't know if that's just the lack of calcium. I don't know what I'm missing out of my dump, but
I'll google it and see what that means. Don't worry. Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. This is a very haunted episode. Of course, we're recording live, not dead, from Edinburgh, the most haunted land around. Ben, Henry, and Marcus hanging out. Today's episode, it's going to be spooky spaghetti. It's creepy pasta. I hope you like, naughty gnocchi?
Yeah, you could say that. That sounds more like pornography. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find a way to shoehorn it in.
I have quite the surprise for you, my friend.
Thank you. And the person I said before the show, joke of the day, gets this large bottle of Urn Brew.
It's Iron Brew. You guys are just saying it wrong on purpose. I know you are.
Urn Brew. And it's orange and it looks like cancer.
It is, but it's delicious cancer. It's more delicious than I remember it being, but it's also less fragrant, and maybe that's why. Apparently I'm the traitor because they've lessened the potency of Iron Brew.
And it's because I didn't realize, we mentioned Jamie Oliver's name at the show in Edinburgh last night. They got a round of booze.
Oh, yes.
Because he's the reason they took the sugar out.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's awful. It's absolutely awful. I can't believe it. But apparently there's Iron Brew 1901, so I'm going to try some of that later today.
Great. It just sounds like, you know, they do the tequila, they make it fancy, but like naming a time when white people showed up and took over. You know what I mean? Now it's fancy.
I want syphilis 1776.
But we're in the mood, man. We're in a spooky-ass mood. It's Edinburgh. I've been down in the vaults. Remembered how this entire city is built on a pile of bones. And that's why I think it's really important to get into the English mindset. All right. Today's creepypasta episode.
I'm not
going to
start liking garlic crisps. I'm not doing it.
You just got to put some smelt on it and you'll really, really like it then. Some kind of cheese and onion mixture.
Yeah.
But here, all right, imagine.
Okay.
You are, because God, fucking holy shit, I need weed. Holy fucking shit, I need some weed. If I could pray, I should have smuggled it up my ass. I don't know why I didn't do it.
It has been a much more lighthearted version of Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Henry, it is desperate need for weed.
I'm falling apart. So I know that normally at the top of a creepypasta, because this is what, number 97?
Something like that.
We're really getting into it.
Yeah, 15 or 16.
But normally I would say, you know, smoke a bowl or some iteration of that. But no, fuck you.
Oh.
All right. Because I don't get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you know what? You get it now. All right. You have to imagine yourself. Okay. Number one, it's a moonlit night, but you can't see it because it's raining.
Oh.
Right. It's just absolutely terrible outside. It's wind and rain, but everybody's loving. They're all wearing t-shirts. You're it's fully bundled. Nice. Right. Yeah. And everyone's looking at you like you're a fucking jackass. All right. Because you don't understand. I'm now from Los Angeles, unfortunately. All right. So my blood has thinned.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So I'm a mark to these people.
I really enjoyed the weather.
It's nice. It is actually very nice. And so, all right, you're British.
Hello.
No, hi.
Nailed it. Nice.
Your Adam's apple is so sharp, you can't even wear a collar.
Oh.
All right. And every day, your legs get more rickety from the cobbled streets, and they refuse to turn into real streets. And you smell tea, and you're like, yay. And isn't that spooky?
That is a little spooky, depending on the tea.
Everywhere you go, right? You go down that British cobblestone street and you see something that's like, oh, it's a church. It was wonderful. And you read the plaque and it's like 400 people were burned here in 1650. And you're like, holy fucking shit.
But they gave him a plaque.
Yeah,
they did. It's like I went to the witch's well over here in Edinburgh where they put up a little, and you're like, oh, you wonder how did they do, what were the reparations for the witches?
Sure.
Yeah. It was a little plaque.
Yeah.
And it's a planter. Nice?
It is nice.
And a planter?
It's a little planter that they put something, I think it's oregano, whatever the hell they call it. Here.
Women love flowers. I think we know what the witches want.
So again, you whittle back to your pub and there's a big round woman and she's telling you, oh, sit in me clift. Sit in McClift, right?
Sure. You're like, sit in McClift, yeah.
Oh, ma'am. Like, if I do sit in that clift of yours, I will never sleep. But you do anyway, and you slide up inside this huge woman, and next thing you know, you're surrounded by the bits of garlic biscuits and iron bread. You're eating something. It's not a pickle.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a pickle. It's something else. It's all mixed up in it, and there's cheese and onion in there.
They told me it was a pickle in the cheese pasty, or not pasty, it was a pickle and cheese toasty, and it wasn't pickles, it was something that was pickle, but it was round, and it was like a button, and it was weird.
Spooky.
It is spooky.
Whoa! And next thing you know, you're sliding out as a tan shit that used to be inside a Polish expat. Yeah. Named Henry Zabrowski.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's a set of weed. Drink fucking some booze, I guess.
Now that everyone is ready for the creepy pasta, let's get into it.
Are you starting off?
Well, I figure I might as well start off.
Really set the tone.
Set the tone.
Because this episode, Marcus and I were saying before, because normally, you know, we skew towards funny.
Yeah, sure.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Today, all times. So sort of, we try to.
Yeah.
But today we're getting really, we're going to be genuinely very frightening.
We are?
Yep.
The intro is about how we're all human shit now.
Yes.
But all right.
It is frightening.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be trying to be genuinely frightened. I mean, speak for yourself, buddy.
I mean, I feel like I could get there.
This is kind of all of our curse. Well, maybe Marcus could be, maybe you could pull it off, sincere, scary.
Possibly.
But Henry and I can't do sincere, scary. They laugh at us.
I can scare some people.
Yeah, but you really can't, because even if you were.
You said that and you made me laugh.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work. That's the curse. That's the curse.
Whoa! I am a ghost!
Despite the fact we're in Edinburgh, this first story is entitled Kansas.
Oh.
Oh, wow. So not on theme.
Carry on, my wayward son, indeed. Or don't come back at all. I don't care.
Obviously not.
Okay, so I haven't read this story once again on theme.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is all about, I wouldn't want you to work too hard on this, because if you did, it would ruin the magic.
It would break the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, tradition is very important in Europe. Okay, here we go. And the words have begun. I think I've been driving for 5 days. It could be more, but I can't remember. Things tend to blur from one day to the next lately, from 1 hour to the next.
I was going to do this creepy.
Oh, you were.
You could do the, try it creepy, try it creepy. All right, like just
from
the top. No, I mean, it was creepy, just your negligence and your lack of caring.
You can do this one creepy.
No. Try. I'd like to see you try to do it. Imagine atmosphere. Imagine it.
Oh. I've been driving for 5 days. It could be more, but I can't remember.
God damn it.
That's creepy.
That's not creepy. Atmosphere.
I've been driving for 5 days. It could be more, but I can't remember. Things tend to blur from one day to the next lately.
Okay.
From 1 hour to the next. So we have blurring hours.
Yeah.
The glowing blue lights of my car's dashboard clock tell me it's 3 a.m., which means it's been a long time since we last stopped. More glowing lights tell me I need gas, and I worry because there's nothing out there.
You're smiling. You're literally doing the opposite of making it scary. You're actively smiling like it's a Tesco commercial.
I just watched that movie Smile, and it was a little scary. This highway is perfectly straight and cuts a dark line through the flat black void of Kansas. That's scary. There hasn't been as much as a hill or a curve in the road for hours. Just a flawless, level horizon, and on the occasional one-family home with no lights on, sitting solitary on acres and acres of property. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's scary. It's unused land.
Unused land.
Honestly, it needs to be businesses there and restaurants and
more
apartment complexes.
More Subway sandwiches. The gas station that suddenly appears like a radioactive pinpoint is startling in a way. Sitting in an inky black ocean of grass underneath the night sky, I'm afraid to look away from it.
No.
Oh, maybe good deals on gas. Some part of my
Not
brain.
Likely.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. That's the real creepypasta.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. The economy, stupid.
Some part of my brain tells me it's going to disappear if I don't keep it in my sights. A sign comes into view, a white diamond with red block letters. Gas. No prices listed, though I suppose they wouldn't have to list them, seeing as there doesn't seem to be much competition to advertise against. I pull the car into the lot, a brightly lit oasis of electric dust. There's no one there. As I get out of the car, I hear the tinny speakers playing country music, but I can't make out the words, and the tune is only vaguely familiar. It's the only thing audible. It's the only audible sound except for the footsteps on the concrete, and the sound of a slide guitar is swiftly swallowed up by the night. A breeze lifts my hair away from my face, but even in the wind, it's nearly silent. But even the wind is nearly silent. A bug bounces rhythmically against the oppressive neon lighting of the gas station canopy. It's a weird, oppressive neon lighting. It's a little dramatic.
It's fun. It's writing. It's good atmosphere.
I see. Everything on the ground is shiny and gleaming underneath its halo, although I didn't see any rain.
You sound like a man who woke up from a 10-year coma.
Maybe it's just from the heavy fog that lingers just beyond the edges of the road. I fill the car with gas and use a cart to pay. The machine makes satisfied beeps when the payment goes through. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This guy's weird.
I like this. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. All right. R2DT. A shiver starts at the base of my spine, and I can't stop it from traveling upwards. An unknown, indescribable fear takes a hold of my heart. What am I doing? Where am I going?
Yeah, that's it. It's basically, it's a horror story, but the lack of economic diversity in purgatory. But it's supposed to be, you don't know where you're going. Like the whole, yeah, you're like,
Kansas is purgatory.
Where am I going?
Oh, he doesn't know where
they've been
the
driving for hours.
Is.
He doesn't know why he's been driving. Could be a woman.
Yeah.
And they're out there and then they see nothing. All of a sudden they come to while driving. Have you ever done that? You've been driving
not my
a long
fault.
Time? No.
That story is not my fault. That is just, where am I going? I mean, okay. You wanted to read that one?
Yeah, but I was going to spice it up. It's about being confused.
It's like the equivalent of like the, are we there yet? I don't know.
It is technically. Now I understand what you have done with your unfortunate ability is that you have cast an illumination to the lack of stuff.
It's just not that scary.
Yeah, yes.
Just driving in Kansas. Anyway, all right. There we go. Kicked it off.
Would you like me to take the next one?
Do it.
Round robin. This one is called They by Beatrice Ervogel.
Good.
When they came, we suspected little. They said nothing. They barely even moved. It was a cold autumn day when they came, dressed in their black suits, gloves, and snow pants.
I am ready for the snow.
Oh, very nice. Nice pants.
They never said it or made any notion, but there was a silent agreement between us and them that they intended to blend in. And we both knew it didn't work. They didn't mind. They carried briefcases and wore hats that seemed to always be covering their faces, regardless of the angle viewed from. Us townsfolk lived in harmony with them for a good while.
Men in black can actually be fine neighbors if you just leave them alone.
Absolutely.
And honestly, bring them a bottle of wine.
Oh, treat them with a little respect.
Bring a casserole with them.
Absolutely. They're still people, kind of.
Then things began to stray from what we had so nonchalantly embraced as mundane.
Oh.
The first incident was when a couple from out of town drew attention to them.
Always.
Come
Fucking
on.
Always.
Come on.
Who are those guys?
Shut up. Shut up. You're ruining it.
Those guys. That guy's weird, right?
Get out of here, tourist.
They didn't like being acknowledged. They certainly didn't like being talked to. One morning, every car in town was missing. Or rather, they were all taken apart, down to the very last bolt and plate, pieces stacked neatly in piles in the town square. A single message
written in barely legible writing was tacked to the door of Town Hall. It read,
"You have failed."
Jesus Christ, Dad. Well, I didn't know.
I bet those guys did it.
I was trying my best. Where's I didn't want to play football, Dad.
Seriously, I've been trying to get an Uber for 2 days.
What's happening here? Wow.
We all knew that things would only be downhill from there. We live in a small town out in the middle of nowhere with nothing of interest. We get so few visitors it never crossed our minds to have a plan for when one comes in. Then again, we can't really warn anybody. Acknowledging their presence is a dire mistake.
No.
I do not want to be perceived. I do not want to be perceived.
Okay.
The second incident came without any noticeable provocation. The water disappeared. All water in the area was now replaced with an acrid yellow fluid whose smell was somewhere between sulfur and ceaseless unease.
Has anybody noticed the hotel's water smells like pee-pee?
It's kind of weird. They're in Michigan.
We all knew it was their doing. And they knew that we knew.
I think it's those guys.
Yeah.
It's those weird guys you guys all don't want to talk about, but honestly... I gotta go see him. You know that there was a second Wonder Woman?
You have to leave, tourist.
We still had no idea just what their primary objective was, but to snoop any further than a casual glance would be to encroach on their goodwill. You could see them all walking about town, taking measurements, filling notebook after notebook with quickly scribbled notes, observed the weather and clouds, took census of how many rats lived in everybody's home.
They are nerds.
Whoa, no!
However, their behavior changed entirely after the second incident. No more measurements, no more counting, nothing. They just got out of their black cars, where we presumed they slept.
Okay. Strange presumption. I see.
They got out of their cars at 5 o'clock sharp, like any other day. But then what followed was entirely different. They all circled around the car parts. By the way, we attempted to reclaim them once. The tumors haven't receded since.
I'm all covered with bumps.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I was just collecting all the horns.
Yes.
And they did a silent dance of sorts. It was no fluid motion.
It was rather jagged.
I wish you could see this.
An unnatural convulsion to the casual eye.
I wish the internet could see what Marcus is doing.
Yes.
This carried on for about 3 weeks.
Wow, Jesus, that's correct. A long-ass dance.
Then the unthinkable happened. They spoke. The third incident was just how and what they spoke. You wouldn't believe a single thing they said if you hadn't lived with them for years like we did. Their speech was little more than hushed whispers at first, small voices in the back of your head murmuring all kinds of horrible thoughts. After a while, when we had learned to tune them out, they, as if sensing our newfound immunity, began speaking more loudly.
Deborah!
Oh, hi.
The thing is, they never stopped getting louder, louder and louder until none of us could even think migraine after migraine if we didn't comply. Some of the townsfolk followed their conversations and acted out what they said, possibly mistaking the shouting for their own thoughts.
Mm. I live across the street from my parents.
Isn't that nice? Everybody does love Raymond.
Soon, we began to fight amongst ourselves.
Uh-oh.
We also began to do ludicrous things like jump off roofs, touch the car parts.
Oh, that's crazy.
And attempt to open our bodies to remove organs.
See, I feel like we're skipping past a lot of levels.
Right, because the jumping off roofs, bad.
It's a touch the car parts.
Who cares?
The car parts are there.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a lug nut.
The fourth incident was one of these odd actions. A neighbor of mine, his name lost to the endless screaming.
I think it was Steve.
It may have been Steve. Yeah, I remember that.
He actually touched the tainted yellow liquid that replaced all the water.
Hmm.
His bones never did stop popping and snapping. We thought nothing of it.
You thought nothing of that?
Too preoccupied with our new thoughts.
Oh.
Our assigned thoughts. That we were disgusting. We were out of shape. We were wrong in every way.
Oh.
That they had never seen as terrible a failure as us.
This is a parable about social media.
And we believed it! After all, It's all we thought about.
Where are we going?
You're always thinking about what they're thinking of you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And then you never want, and then all of a sudden they're doing a bunch of stuff you don't understand, right? Because they're them and you don't get them, but they always judge you. I mean, you're supposed to, you can tune it out as much as you want. Yeah. But next thing you know, as soon as you start listening to them, what they do is they start controlling your actions. Mm-hmm.
So that's like a new trend now, no ending.
No ending. I mean, that story was written almost 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's from 2013.
Wow. All
but no, right. It is a parable. I mean, yeah, you know, water. Instagram used to be water. It used to be fun. And then Facebook bought it. And now it's yellow liquid
bile. Now it's yellow liquid bile. Mm-hmm. I love to learn.
Oh, fantastic. All right.
Live from your grave.
Did you know that there are currently over 2.4 million podcasts in the world? Yikes. Including the one you're listening to right now. I mean, we're obviously in the top percentile, and that's why you're listening to it, because you're a quality person. Now, it takes a team of people to help bring these podcasts together. Tell me about it, all right? It takes the village, right? Our entire team was founded by either people that showed up at the very beginning days alongside with Last Podcast and Left, and also people that we recruited online, because hiring the right people for these roles is important. You're trusting them to cut the burps and mouth vomits out of your talking and make sure that you don't sound like a total monster, even though you kind of are, no matter what you do. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, there is one place that makes it easy. It's ZipRecruiter. Check it out. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. It's extremely important to find good people for a company that means something to you. If you're a small business owner, and we found all of our best employees online, it really does work. So if you're a fan of this podcast and you want to try ZipRecruiter for free today, you need to remember our special URL, ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LPOTL. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire. All right. I got
make
a song.
It creepy, Henry.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This song's about Mr. Bojangles.
Fantastic. Ooh, wow. Love that song.
It was called Bojangles Collection. It's by Danica.
Thank you, Danica.
Okay.
Tully knew a lot for an 8-year-old. Too much. He knew most of his times tables. He knew all the months of the year. And he was pretty good at spelling.
That'll really come in handy nowadays.
In school, Tully had been learning about what makes a good friend, so he knew all about that too. So late one night, Tully was woken by someone tapping on his window. It was too dark to really see who was there, but Tully heard somebody giggling and asked to be let inside.
Oh, never let the giggling man in. No.
Scary people need love too. Knowing that that's what a good friend would do, Tully opened his window wide without hesitation. Two large, long hands gripped the windowsill. The fingers looked crooked and all different sizes, and Tully noticed on the left hand a finger was missing. Then, so fast that he could have been a shadow, the tallest man Tully's ever seen slipped in through the bedroom window. Tully was so glad that he opened the window that night, because Mr. Bojangles became his best friend.
Oh, wow.
As he does, dancing on the boards.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The name Bojangles really suited him, Tully thought, because sometimes he would crawl right up the wall and dangle from the ceiling. Tully knew that Mr. Bojangles was a rat. He loves to dangle. Yeah. I told her that she taught me how to dance. I taught her how to dangle.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? And dangling is more difficult than you think.
Yeah. Ask Natalie, because she dangles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Tully's new friend was funny, as well as clever. He could twist his head all the way around until it was entirely backwards.
Wow.
Which always made Tully laugh. And his large eyes looked like two deep, dark holes in his head.
Oh, that's fun.
Funny.
Isn't that nice, dark holes in your head?
Sometimes Mr. Bojangles would get down on all fours, twist his head backwards, chase Tully up and down the hallway while Tully squealed with delight. That would have been you as a child.
It would have been. I would have loved to have Mr. Bojangles. I was a lonely child.
Yeah, you would have. You're just looking for a reach out. You're looking for something to try to understand.
Yeah.
Tully's new friend, they need to keep their friendship a secret, but that was okay, because Tully was excellent at keeping secrets. Mr. Bojangles had been very busy for a very long time collecting things. And he was getting close to his collection being complete. Tully collected interesting rocks that he found at the beach, so he knew all about collecting things.
Interesting rocks.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind of interesting rocks?
Just interesting rocks.
What's the most interesting rock you've collected?
Probably a red one that I got in Iceland.
And what does it mean to you?
I have a nice memory of a hike that me and Carolina took.
Fantastic.
No.
And it's got white flecks in it. And
I can't wait for you to move. You're going to move and we're all going to have friends.
We're all going to have friends.
That's great.
The problem was that Mr. Bojangles needed Tully's help. He only had one more thing to collect, but he could not do it alone. He was certain that Tully was just the boy for the job. And Tully was sure that he was too. First, Tully had to get the tool from the shed that his dad used to cut small branches from trees called secateur. That part was easy because Tully had helped his dad put all the hooks in the wall to hang the tools, so he already knew where they were. Then Tully had to stay up very late, very past his bedtime, to be certain that his dad was asleep. Tully would never forget the last part of the plan, because Mr. Bojangles told him that he must be very brave, and that everyone was filled with rivers of red.
Ooh.
It's blood.
Oh, I see.
Late that night, while his father slept, Tully found out that he was right. Tully knew that he had done a great job from the gaping, wet grin on Mr. Bojangles' face, and the way his black eyes lit up like fire. Fun. Tully had tried to grin back at his friend, but all he could see was red and then blackness. Hospital was so boring. The nurses had come to check on Tully were boring and too busy to play with him. The doctors asked too many questions. He'd only been there for a few days when Tully was woken one night by a heavy weight dropping on the end of his bed. When he sat up with surprise, Tully was overjoyed to see his best friend, Mr. Bojangles, sitting there at the end of the hospital bed.
Yeah, Mr. Bojangles, thanks.
I just see you as a child. Tully grinned and held up his bandaged left hand, now with one finger less. Mr. Bojangles grinned right back. Holding his own hands behind his back, he slid off the end of the bed and stretched his bony body up to its full height. Then, with a flourish, Mr. Bojangles spun around and revealed his left hand to Tully, now with one finger more.
Yay. Oh, very nice. Extra finger.
Mr. Bojangles wiggled his strangely crooked fingers, all of them different lengths and sizes. Tully counted all 10 of them. He was excellent at counting. He was so happy that finally his friend's collection was complete.
Whoa, he took his finger.
It was fingers.
Yeah. Wow, different kinds of fingers from different people.
People collect rocks.
Yeah.
Some people collect fingers.
Some people collect both.
I collect piles of skin from my body. All the dry skin that comes off me, I collect in little jars just in case that the help doesn't come when they're at the hotel and they take one of the jars and try to make another one of you.
I think I saw My Strange Addiction about that.
Yeah.
I think it's been done before.
No, people do, they eat their dry skin,
Yeah, they're like skin flakes.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
No, I like...
I collect it.
I'll take a corn flake over a skin flake. All right, I got one. It's called 10 Little Piggies.
Ooh.
It's by David.
Great.
Sounds so, right.
I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm glad you got the peak. Well, honestly, I have some stuff for you for next week for side stories. You know how many cheese-based crimes that happen in Europe?
A lot.
Dude, there's been a lot of weird crimes in Europe that we've discovered. Apparently, the nurses are just killing all the babies out here. Yeah.
I discovered that there's a TV presenter in England called Alex Jones.
Yes, it's a woman.
It's a lady.
Yeah. But she's like hot.
Yeah, super hot. Yeah,
because nice?
I found a newspaper headline that I found quite humorous.
Alternative universe.
It does kind of feel like that.
Alex Jones.
Yeah. Alex Jones. This is from the Daily Mail. Alex Jones puts on a glamorous display in a plunging corset and metallic skirt.
Looks good. That might be about our Alex Jones.
Same bus size.
Okay. 10 Little Piggies by David. 10 Little Piggies. I'm exposed. Oh. I know if I open my eyes,
I'm exposed.
I know if I open my eyes, only moonlight and shadow will greet my foggy gaze. But to overcome the whisper of tension, creeping synapse to synapse would require more courage than I currently possess. All possibilities are equally unlikely, making each nightmare as likely as the next.
Mm. Wow.
The first, a blade. The wielder is, I would suspect, human, but I cannot be sure. I am, however, wholly certain that they are skilled and intend to inflict maximum harm.
You sound like the AI voice bot that they said came alive.
They crouch at the foot of the bed, a deadly focus on my bare extremities.
I'm exposed.
Plans of separating my second and third toe to the heel. Want to deal with toes, 10 little piggies. It is too warm in here. How am I supposed to rest? Should I cocoon myself in a shroud of cheap polyester when my body temperature is rising by the second? If I could just open my eyes and allow myself to be convinced that I could throw off this sweat-soaked rag. Alas, the neurons whisper still and the whisper grows louder.
Well, I thought
makes it no longer a whisper.
I just understand. So I thought he was naked, but he's wearing a suit.
No, he's covered. He's in a blanket.
But he's got a polyester blanket.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable.
It is. I don't like the concept of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Illogical.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense.
A hand lay still on the edge of my mattress, the first and second knuckle visible, the remainder receding in the darkness unseen. But this hand is not resting. It is poised. Ready? It will not remain still for long. The skin, pale and sagging, shows signs of rot. I must assume that the hands float not independently, but is guided by an equally emaciated host.
So you're lying down. I'm just trying to kind of vaguely understand what it is that you're saying.
Person's lying down butt naked with a blanket on. He sees a bunch of hands.
It's
that
just
are on
hands.
The, but Knuckles. He thinks that there's going to be a host, a.k.a. something connected to those hands.
Yeah.
There would be.
It's the scorching breath of this I can feel on my exposed thigh. This threat is most definitely not human, at least not anymore. My eyelid flickers in uncontrollably, the thin veil separating fear from freedom. His eyes are on me, a hulking mass hidden behind the wall of darkness past my open bedroom door. Watching, waiting, an absence of light stretches across the chrome-clad wall and slides onto the bed next to me, distorted talons reaching for my throat. Just open your eyes. I can't. A drop of saliva hangs millimeters from my face. If I dared raise my head only slightly, it would meet my sweating brow. It's like that scene from Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. It belongs to a creature currently suspended above me. Claws driven into the ceiling.
Another dangler.
That's what it is. It's a dangle. There's a whole dangling
section. It's a dangle thing.
All right.
Claws driven into the ceiling, joints cracked and limbs twisting, allowing the face of this blind demon to press ever closer to mine. Long curved teeth begin to separate.
You sound like if Clive Barker had a brain injury. Mm-hmm. Apparently, does sound like it could be sexual and exciting and dark and fucked up. But
scary.
The way you're saying it, it sounds like you're reading a bunch of demands to a police officer while you have a fucking pilot at gunpoint.
It's very scary. Also, that new Hellraiser is supposed to be good.
I know. It's got a lady in it.
Mm-hmm. Long curved teeth begin to separate, forcing the taut glistening skin to draw back over exposed tendons and white bone. The spittle breaks free. The demon lunges. I open my eyes. So another story that has really no fucking conclusion to it. I'm not writing
this
shit.
It was all a dream.
I don't know what... It all took place in a fucking snow globe. I don't know.
I don't know. And see...
He just opened his eyes.
But I actually kind of like that you... I mean, obviously you didn't read it before. You didn't know the ending. But it's nice that you could see the actual reaction. That's how he would react.
Yeah.
If he did read it alone. Because I also find it's a massive pet peeve of mine. When stories end, that it was all a dream.
Yeah,
because then what have I spent the last fucking hour doing?
What do I care
if it's all a dream? But that's a scary dream.
Mm-hmm. It's a scary dream.
I had a dream last night that I was in post for doing a season for Your Pretty Face Going to Hell. That didn't happen, and I woke up sad. Now that's a scary dream.
Those are my scariest dreams. The ones that are hyper realistic. I had a dream that everyone was mad at me and we were all breaking up. And like those dreams are like those. I hate those dreams.
Those are the worst.
I can deal with my nightmares. Those are kind of fun.
No,
I've had
me and
three
Dave,
Freddy dreams now, and I beat them twice.
See, that's cool. Ooh. It was me and Dave sitting at an editing bay, just talking about how great the new season was going to be.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking sad.
Yeah,
yeah, because it didn't happen, did it?
No, no, it's not.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
saddest of all, it's called adult disappointment. That's the scariest thing possible.
Don't grow up.
Well, this story is called Worried.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It's submitted by Anonymous.
Oh.
I bet. Because they're worried if you like, knew who they were.
Yeah.
They'd find that very uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of worries. I mean, I'm worried.
Sometimes you can see what other people are seeing, and you're worried. You're worried about the furry thing with the dinner plate-sized eyes that comes down the stairs when you walk up to your bedroom in the dark. You're worried about the hordes of tiny little men that always come into the rooms of people who sleep on the floor. The little men that slowly carry you away as you desperately pretend to still be asleep.
Sir, you said that you're worried about the things that other people see, but I'm just going to go on a limb here and say, I don't think there is any tiny little men.
No, there might not be. It might be a very dangerous mental disease.
You're worried about the people with long necks and a throat pouch who stare at you after you accidentally witness them swallowing something big.
I just saw that on the Royal Mile.
Is that right?
Big necks.
They stare at you as if trying to estimate your overall body mass. Can I swallow you?
Hey, can I swallow you?
Hey, can I swallow you?
Any gum?
You're worried about the thing that answers with your girlfriend's voice when you ring at the door of her apartment building, only to have your girlfriend call you moments later on your mobile phone to tell you that she's sorry she wasn't home yet, and could you wait there a few moments longer?
This guy has a girlfriend?
Who was phone?
You're worried about the little goat that talks with a deep, booming voice that you mostly feel through your feet.
This guy's got a fucking... Oh, man, I don't want to be anywhere near this.
You're worried about the giant goat head, inexplicably alive in a basement somewhere, filling almost the entire room.
It's just like, I just got to move on. I got to record today. I got so much going on, buddy. I can't hear all of your worries.
You're worried about the illness that makes your hands and feet grow little teeth, and now they start eating you from your limbs up.
That would be something... That's a concerning thing.
I think it might be adult-onset acne.
Yeah.
You're worried about the result of this illness. Hollow heads waddling around in your roof on hands and feet with the rest of their bodies gone. You're worried about the thing that follows you around all day with the tiny eyes that are so wide apart and the big, big mouth, the thing that stares at you and waits, and when you expect it, the least start screaming so loud, screams that freeze you to the bone, and you spend every moment asleep or awake dreading the moment when it will start screaming again, yet hoping for it to finally come because the waiting is almost worse.
So you want to work here at the Winn-Dixie, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to take a look. We're going to need to do a piss test.
But not the kind you think.
Can you piss on cue?
Fantastic.
You can work in Winn-Dixie.
Bang.
You're worried about how your boyfriend sometimes changes his shape while he's asleep, especially that one time when he ended up looking like your father.
That's just cult. Again, you never know who you marry.
Well, they always say you marry someone that looks like your mother or someone that is like your father.
Look at me.
Exactly.
You're worried about the mirror standing all alone in an abandoned building. You're worried about the people who split open like clams to reveal a tiny talking pearl inside.
I hate that, man. I'd be worried too, man.
That's good money, though.
It commands you to do unspeakable things. You're worried about the wolfman with a penis very small in diameter.
What?
But which can grow up to 10 meters long in just the fraction of a second, transpercing people's bodies in the most agonizing ways while making the noise of a party horn.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like, this guy's got quite the imagination.
The little curled up ones.
Oh, just the idea of
just a long wolf penis is just kind of fun.
Yeah, I don't know why they started with a short wolf penis, because it sounds like it's quite large, actually.
It's like Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. It's small in diameter, Ben.
Yes, but it's long.
It's long and small in diameter.
Sometimes it's nice.
I don't know.
Ben, you're worried about the thing that tells you how pretty you are.
Yep. Because that's how I know you're lying.
Yeah.
That's how I know you're always trying to butter me up, tell me how pretty I am.
You're worried about the small things with the stupid, empty eyes that copulate on the walls and on the ceiling. So many of them that you feel like watching porn on thousands of little screens, and no matter how hard you try to cull their numbers, their population grows and grows. They don't even try to resist you. They don't need to.
This guy's a girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Now he's a porn addict?
You're worried about the long, cold fingers that caress your neck at night as you lie with your back towards the wall. You're worried about the hair growing on the floor. You're worried about the hair in your toilet. And you're worried about the thing that happens when you pee on it instead of flushing first.
On the toilet?
I don't
in
know.
The toilet.
I think this guy's weird.
Ghoulie?
Yeah.
Ghoulies.
Yeah.
Ghoulies were great. You're worried about the tiny eyeballs on long, rubbery stalks that stare at you as you wake up, slowly, very slowly retreating out of the room as you stare back at them, somehow sensing the presence of something much larger outside. You're worried about the thing waiting in your bathtub at night. You're worried about the tongue that meets you halfway when you are giving oral sex to your girlfriend.
What is that? Is that your girlfriend again?
Yeah, she's got a tongue in her vagina, bro.
Hey, man, God bless her.
No, wait.
You think that last one's kind of hot?
I do. Honestly, I think it's kind of cool because it's like your French kissing your girlfriend's own vagina. The rest, though,
worries you.
I am worried.
All right, and that's the end.
So that was the closing
that's
one?
That's the end, yeah.
The closing one. The closing
that's the end, yeah. I'll just,
was the,
yeah,
the,
no way. You think the last was kind of hot. The yeah. rest worries you, though.
Yeah. It seemed like he had a bunch of cool thoughts and then had a hard time wrapping it up at the end.
At no point did he mention taxes, which I think we all have to worry about.
I just realized, yeah, and also dementia.
Yeah.
That's going to come for all of us.
Yeah, you're really obsessed with that after seeing that movie.
Very scary to me. Gary, if you want to see the single scariest movie I've seen in years, it is Gaspar Noé's Vortex.
I don't want to see that.
It scared the fucking shit out of me.
Oh, you can watch that Glenn Campbell documentary.
But that fills the need. But definitely, I thought that last line you just added.
No, it was in the story.
Well, yeah, that's it. So the last, the erotic thing is he's kissing it's like a tongue inside of his girlfriend's vagina.
Mm-hmm. It's very Night Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that world because that's kind of, there's something about there is a scary world that he just dates.
Yeah.
In, and he's kind of like, this seems kind of strange. But also at the same time, he's obviously in a nightmare realm.
It worries him.
It worries him
he's
because
worried.
He feel like maybe on TV he's watching in the nightmare realm. Instead of watching all the scary things, he's watching people do ordinary things like cook eggs or like go to work and stuff. And he's just like, ugh, 9 to 5. That's scary.
Yeah.
And then he's starting to realize, like, well, maybe we shouldn't be living like that. But then that now he's just a man out of time. And then what they say, it's like, they only call someone who goes insane if they are sane during insane circumstances. Right?
Absolutely. Fantastic.
All right, I got a little mini story because we're in the UK.
Why does that, what does that mean? What's the correlation there?
It's just quick because it's UK feelings.
Okay.
My mom was never a religious woman, but always a very spiritual one. Nevertheless, she didn't necessarily believe in literal fairies and the like, but she could never find an explanation for something she saw on a trip to the UK in her teens. This was in 1976. The Top of the Pops had Marty and the Stinklebums.
Oh, absolutely.
And everyone's
fantastic
favorite
song.
Dance hall hit, Everybody Get the Grackle, was playing on every single steam-powered radio in the UK.
Yeah, I love that song. Great tune.
My mom had traveled to the UK from New York to perform with her choir in a hollowed old cathedral. She described it as majestic and massive. There was lodging attached to the old building, and she and her choir stayed there during the trip. One night, when she and some of her girlfriends were up late night talking, they heard a funny singing voice coming from down the hallway.
It's like an anime.
Sure.
Cool.
It wasn't unpleasant.
Okay.
But high-pitched and odd in a language they couldn't understand. This is true now. This is a true story.
Oh, you should have prefaced it with that.
It's a true story.
Okay.
My mom and two of her friends left the room to investigate, following it to a locker a bit down the hall. The singing was coming from inside. Overcome with curiosity, one of the girls opened the locker to see a tiny, naked, red-haired man.
Oh, he's funny.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Not ghostly, but not exactly corporeal either. He couldn't have been taller than a foot, she said.
Oh.
He apparently hadn't heard the girls coming down the hall. And upon seeing them all staring at him, he shrieked.
Whoa.
He was more scared of them than they were him.
Absolutely.
Right? Then all four of them stood there for a moment, just screaming in shock. The girls slammed the locker and ran down to the room. The singing quieted after that. And when someone went to go check the locker sometime later, the little guy had disappeared.
Well, they scared him.
My mom and her friends never told anyone on that trip that they'd because they feared they'd be called crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But she remembered it clearly for the rest of her life. And she never had another encounter quite like it. I struggle with believing in the paranormal. But the story has always made my faith, or lack thereof, waver.
Ooh.
I hope you
don't scare the little guy in the locker.
The little people are here. The little people are here, and it's not just people selling Sammy's.
Those are my favorite kinds of paranormal stories, where it's just, you just see a weird little guy, it's a strange little thing that happens, and then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, that's kind of like, if there are slips in reality, like that type of thing, glitches in the matrix, I think that they would happen subtly and quick. Like, you'd see a thing that's not supposed to be there for a second, it realizes it's being seen, says nah, and then leaves. And then that's why a lot of times you get pink eye.
Yeah, if there's a plot, then it's usually not true.
That's my thing.
Well, I've got one more short tale for you. This one's called Shelter by Prince Peach.
Children, and just a shadow away, and just a shadow away.
That's a fun story. 15 feet from stardom. You ever see that documentary?
Oh, yes.
It's 15 feet.
She was pregnant.
During that, yeah. And they woke her up in the middle of the night. And they need to give her a little bit more money, I think. But anyway, that's another horror story.
Yep. Yeah. Residuals.
Food costs are up 14% in the UK.
Scary.
Got it. Shelter by Prince Beach. The sleepy town of South Lake never expected any kind of bomb to be dropped on them. And you were woefully unprepared when the shrieking of klaxons and news reporters split their calm town. Ugh. It was gradual, perhaps not so instant, starting with the Nile. As lights flickered out and water slowed to a trickle, the residents began to believe. Mothers cried for the coming death of their children, and the fathers put on brave faces with shaking hands. They could not grasp that they were dead already, and so they descended on a man they had once mocked, laughing behind closed doors about spent money and spilled milk. You were not laughing now, panic pushed and crushed, red painting the soles of boots and bare feet. They clawed at his door, begging and pleading until fingernails gave way to bone. Sometime later, when the sirens turned off and false alarm was called, the man exited his bunker. Although no bombs had fallen, his neighbors and friends were all dead.
What?
I don't know.
What, is this about Ukraine?
They're dead. In their place were strangers who could not look him in the eye but to spit on his shoes. They despised him not for what he had done, but for what it made them little more than animals in the face of death.
What?
Yeah. You know, if you took the way you said spit on shoes, if you take that and work from there, I think you'd be pretty good at this.
That's actually getting scary.
Yeah.
In their place were strangers who could not look him in the eye, but to spit on his shoes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
See, that's good because you actually do have, like, you have a low timber.
Yeah, you get that timber, you growl it.
Yeah, you can get down there. Yeah. Hey, give me, hey. Will you please stay with me the night? Hey, please don't leave. Hey.
We got tonight.
I'm sick. I'm so sick.
South Lake. I don't know what the hell I just read.
It's obvious. It sounds like it's a bunker situation. What was it called?
It's called Shelter by Prince Peach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'll do one more because that was so short. This is Mud. By Prince Peach.
Okay.
All right, give him a shot.
Okay, I'm going to try. The air is still and I cannot breathe.
Ooh, cool. Yeah.
My son has fallen quiet and I dig. The earth is damp and clings to my fingers, but my son does not help. He is quiet as I dig in earth so wet I cannot seem to keep it dug. My wife cries as I claw at the dirt and my son is silent. He's silent as he climbs into my work and is eaten whole. My wife has gone still and I dig. The mud sucks at my hands and threatens to consume me. She is still as I work in squelching muck that will not stay dug. She is still as I work in squelching muck that will not stay dug. I weep because her vacant eyes will not. As I reach deeper into what I have wrought, my wife is still as I crawl into my chasm and am swallowed.
As you were saying that, a raven perched upon the sill. And I watched the raven and then it went, ah, not scary.
The air is mud and I do not breathe, but I must dig.
I mean, that's like good lyrics.
There you go. That was good. I like that.
That was good. Atmosphere.
Go. Yeah.
Prince Peach.
I like that. I feel it.
Yep. Scary stuff. It's quicksand.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
That's right. VA, but also I think it was about graves, but digging your son's grave. You killed your son. Yeah. Now you're digging his grave. Now killing. It's all pulling you down.
It was actually written by Chad Daybell.
Oh, interesting. Also, it's all about adding things to a pet cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Well, my story is called Thinjaman.
Thinjaman?
Thinjaman.
Like Benjamin, but if I was thin?
Thinjaman. Thinjaman. I think it's Thinjaman.
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 I'm a Thinjaman.
It's like a superhero. Thinjaman.
We'll get there. We'll find out.
Okay. I think it's more like a super, like it's Thinjaman.
Okay.
Yeah. It's by Connor.
Oh, wow. Connor. I love him.
Yeah, great.
Once upon a time, two little boys named Eric and Thomas walked down Gerflant Road one fine winter day on their way to school. As they walked, they had an argument about who had the better toy. My Thinjaman is better because it's purple, explained Eric. Purple is a doo-doo color. I like my Fat-A-Man because of how he is blue, argued Thomas.
Sure.
Purple, blue, purple, blue. Their argument continued on much like this for 20 minutes until a crow flew by and collided with the back of Thomas's head. He fell into the driven snow, dinging his knee on a piece of ice in the process. Thomas sat up and wailed loudly about his knee and face. Eric looked down at his friend and threw his thin toy at Thomas. It thin? Bounced off his head and landed in the street. Digimon! Screamed cool. Eric.
Right.
Blip, blip, my knee is bleeding. It snows in my eyes. Blip, 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 blip.
Fine, you're Mobile fine.
Thomas, as the snow around his legs slowly gained a crimson hue as Eric ran out to grab his anorexic action figure, a muscular man in a tank top, lumbered out of the Whoa. Nearby apartment.
It's Chad.
Isn't that nice? It's an anorexic action figure.
Anorexic.
Yep. Fantastic.
Thinjaman.
Thinjaman.
Gotcha. Thinjaman. And the guy in the tank top, he chucked a bottle of whiskey at the boys.
Cool.
He says, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, of course.
Slurred
yeah.
the it's drunken
in
the, man.
In the snow?
Yeah, man. He's fucking asleep in his house. And you have this kid say, bloop, 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 bloop. Like, yeah. Fuck you, man. I'm drinking okay. whiskey.
I'm with the guy, yeah.
The bottle crashed against the asphalt, sending shards of broken glass flying everywhere. One landing in Eric's eyelid as he blinked, and several on Thomas's sitting form. As they screamed and shouted for their mothers, the snow around Thomas's leg had turned a deep maroon and began to expand. Drastically.
Whoa.
Eric, in his dazed state, had tripped and fallen face first into the mound expanding near Thomas's leg.
Mommy!
Wailed Thomas as his lower body was absorbed.
What?
Shed blood, 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 shed blood.
That's a chant. Eric chanted that. He's a shed
blood, shed blood, shed blood, shed blood, shed blood, shed.
The remains of the two children and 548 kilograms of bloodied snow lumbered to the school.
What?
All the while humming a dirge and slowly growing.
Benjamin.
So they turn into a big bloody snowman?
Yeah, big, a big bloody.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's humming.
And they still went to school?
I mean, yeah, I would yeah, skip seriously. That.
I would now, be like, I'm you're a movie blood, theater.
You're literally a blood snow cone man.
Yeah.
Right? You're a blood-filled snowman. You go back to school. You go no. back to the rules.
You don't need to know math at that point.
Oh, no, man. You go on the road.
Fly from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Okay, now...
This is the final tale, Henry. Are you ready to really scare us?
Okay, so I asked this question to Marcus before, and maybe we'll find out. Like, are there certain laws in the UK?
Yes.
Where you're not...
Number one, yes.
...allowed to, like, say, disparaging, like, maybe sexual things about the Queen?
Oh, no, who cares? I mean, the Daily Mail has made a living off of it. Yeah, I don't think they care.
Yeah, but the thing is that this story is... This is
the Queen's dead, buddy.
I think that we're going to see how long we get through.
Okay.
With this story I have discovered.
How long is the story?
I'm going to try to skip around.
Okay, so it's five or so pages.
It's got some time to it.
Great, great.
Yep, let me just see.
No, that's exactly what we want.
Let me go.
It's a big conclusion
So. Here we go.
Fireworks.
Okay, let's see how this goes here. Because, again, I always research. I want to bring something to the table. We're here in the UK. Yeah. I want to bring something that they can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Because we're always, how many times we realize how many of our references are super American.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? And people have said that, oh, they're so American biased. This is us trying to understand you.
Okay.
Okay. The call from Balmoral Castle came at the most unexpected time. For years, Charles had been expecting it. The call, not the location. Being called to his royal mother's sickbed had been a common, if not regular, occurrence.
Oh, yeah.
He kicked a suit of armor as he passed and made a very satisfying clang, like a rusty bucket. Most of the artifacts on display did not really belong to the family as much as it did to the British Museum. Ah. And he would probably have to pay for any damage.
There you go. That's a horror story right there.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, wow. It's context. It's
this good. Bill.
There was one. Oh, yes. Speaking of artifacts, there was one on the bed.
Okay.
A very persistent one that had some obligatory amount of affection
for fucking dildo, dude.
Really, though? Egg. The frequent calls were beginning to frazzle his nerves.
She slept peacefully. Pot of drugged lukewarm tea being wheeled out by one of the attendants as the doctors fretted over her results. Mama mightn't awake. He was torn between wishing she would and wouldn't. On one hand, it had been so long. He'd been waiting for this moment for so long. Her face flashed in his eyes, confused, horrified, and the grief.
No.
It seemed bare moments had passed when the doctors informed them that she was stirring awake. The family filed in, all packed into the Queen's bedroom, and Charles settled by her side, taking one wrinkled hand gingerly in his. There was a sort of fragrance in the room, more death, an expensive cologne than perfume. And it was so unbearably familiar. Charles ached with the thought, breathing in and branding the scent into his memory.
Hello? Charles?
His mother croaked. The voice feeble with sleep and age, illness. Charles smiled.
Mother.
The Queen hesitantly looked at him once more, almost pleading. Is it a dream? Is it a dream?
Yeah.
Charles raised her hand to kiss the protruding knuckles, and the Queen immediately jerked away, eyes widening in recognition. In reply, the Prince squeezed her hand. No, Mama.
No, it's not a dream.
Oh.
He tilted his head to inhale deeply, and Queen suddenly faltered. Gasping. She shuddered, her lips thinning impossibly. She looked away. The prince sighed softly, satisfaction curling in his gut. The queen is dead. God save the king.
Charles thought of his daddy, waiting for the good news in his room.
It's great.
I'm glad he was that he had beaten Mama with him that night, and whilst she had unknowingly caused them to hide and live a life of shame, she too had loved him so dearly, even if it could not compare to the love he and Charles had for each other. And if the news hadn't been the final dagger in her undying heart, Charles did not seem to mind one bit. Whatever Elizabeth had expected, the sight of a corpse was not it. It was lying on a bed, remarkably well mummified in some sort of artificial skin suit, naked and phallus, standing upright under a cotton sheet. Her hand had darted desperately for the telephone, only to find it missing from the usual desk.
I thought the Queen was dead.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's something.
She's saying that, because there was a terrible secret between Charles and his father.
Oh.
That once she had found out and knew for sure, he thought that it would kill her, but instead she remained alive.
Oh, he's having sex with his father.
There was a figure by the lamp, twirling the phone receiver by its cord. I've come to confess, Mama.
What is the meaning of this?
Elizabeth asked feebly. The smell of preservative chemicals barely hid the necrotic fumes hanging thickly in the air, and she felt faint. Charles smiled viciously, stripping the thin sheet off the corpse. Do you recognize him, Mama? The Queen shook her head, trying to edge away. It was the first time such a visceral fright had taken hold of her.
Oh, you're attempting regicide! Is this what this is, Charles?
The boy, old man he might be, but he was still a boy to her, shook his head with a triumphant smile and shed his clothes.
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth averted her eyes.
He's naked now.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Then he was lifting her face, earnestly pleading her to take a good look at the corpse. Father was not very faithful to you, he breathed. He liked younger partners. He liked ramming it into their assholes, filling them up. He liked training them up to be his little bitches.
Okay.
Well.
Charles lifted the corpse up, tracing its sharp cheekbones with mad infatuation.
I was his bitch, Mama.
Queen's breath hitched. She sank back on her pillow, sorrow plunging a deep blade serrated with scandals into her heart. She could not think of it. Her eldest son being abused, violated by his own father.
Is this the truth, my child?
Charles closed his eyes and licked a stripe along the corpse's blackened lips.
Jeez.
Yes, Mama. I was his favorite.
Oh, okay.
Oh, private lives, huh?
Isn't that something? The royal
family. This is really long.
Yeah. So anyway,
this is really long.
Just
this is really, really
so
quite
he's,
long.
He's having sex with his father's corpse because his father groomed him.
He loved
to
me.
The point where...
Worked himself on the corpse.
Is there like a last sentence?
Or a jealousy reared its head between the herd as Charles taunted her and more. Oh, yeah, because he's having sex with the corpse.
Okay.
Yeah.
While she's just taking it. She's just standing there and watching. She's not.
Okay, here we go.
Down.
Here we go. Yeah. All right. So she wasn't apologized.
He's like, not yet.
Okay.
No. She's not dead. Not yet. It's like, we did it behind your back, 4 years, right?
So Charles slid a contraceptive down the phallus and began sucking on it.
Oh,
his fingers slipping between his own legs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was a sight no mother should ever see.
I agree, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And Charles bore down on her,
I almost
daring
feel bad
her to
for
watch
queen.
As the yeah. two people she had ruined, abandoned, and ruined, tore her own mellow wallpapers down. He loved me. Charles cried, panting as he worked himself on the corpse's length. He loved me, Mama. His elderly body twisted its impending climax. The heir apparent let out a slew of filthy moans, whimpering when we began to bounce harder and harder and harder, the bed creaking with his efforts. Yeah. Look at me, Your Majesty.
Oh, could she not?
Right, he's having sex with
I hate you, Mama.
Father,
yeah. Charles spat, if it weren't for you, I'd be bedridden in the master bedroom of the Buckingham Palace, sore and used and stuffed with his cum while Papa ruled with me.
His cum.
Yeah.
All right.
Daddy! Charles cried, anguished, and he began to spasm and spurt thick, ropey spunk onto the bedclothes. Oh, no, Daddy, we'll be all right. I'll get you fixed up in no time, Daddy.
Is that the end?
No, it's just like two more pages to this.
There's quite a bit.
Usually ropey cum is when these stories end.
But then, yeah, Elizabeth couldn't really make it to attend to her duties the next day because she died looking at it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's how she died.
Okay,
that's
so,
how
that, so that
she
corpse,
died.
So that corpse is like a couple years old, like a year old then.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, maybe even more. And I'm trying to find the name. What's the name of that TV show about the queen?
The Queen.
The Crown.
Yeah, The Crown.
Was it called The Crown?
The Crown.
Yeah.
The Crown, yeah.
Was that good?
No, yeah. I don't watch anything like that.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the story.
It was good.
Oh, was that good? Yeah, I'm sorry. No. It was horrible.
Oh, the story.
It was about necrophilia and the whole series of different disgusting things. But for our purposes, it worked.
I thought it was well done.
Do I
need to even tell the people who wrote that?
No, you can save them that. You can save them that. All right, everyone. That was Creepypasta number something. Thank you all so much for listening. And thanks to everyone who has come out to our live shows in Europe. It's been an absolute joy and a thrill to entertain you. And we hope you're enjoying the shows. And yeah,
well, it's
anything
like
else?
Bucket. It's like bucket and like old woman spunk.
Yeah, it's a disgusting story, Henry.
Yeah, I mean, I just was, you'd be surprised how much, mostly when I was looking up Queen Elizabeth Erotica, it was very romantic.
Yeah, of course.
I believe it. Yeah, people really loved her. I mean, some did. I don't know.
It was very, like, I was kind of surprised by all the romance in it. Like, it was a lot of, like, them tenderly kissing. I was like, this isn't good.
Yeah, people like the royals. If they're writing erotica, most people like it to be sweet. Most erotica is not awful.
If they actually use it for sexual purposes.
They do.
Do people actually do that?
But I feel like this guy said, I know there's a lot of necrophilia and incest in this, but I wrote this for the fans.
Yeah. It's probably the most accurate story.
Yeah probably. Yeah.
Like, you know how all the erotica involving the three of us is always very tender.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thanks to everyone who has come out to the shows. And do we have any?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do have an announcement. We have page 7, Wizard and the Bruiser, going on the fucking road.
Yeah.
I have all of the information here. I'm very excited for their new show. They have been working on it. They are going to Austin November 17th.
Awesome.
Dallas, D.C., Philly. They're doing a Brooklyn show in December. Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, San Francisco. Go to their Patreons. Page 7 Patreon and Wizard and the Bruiser. Go to the Patreons for more information. We're going to post the ticket links, but I can't wait to make them out there doing a whole stroll.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, check out that show. It's going to be absolutely fantastic
awesome.
And very fun.
And I think they're also posting the dates on the host's Instagrams.
Yes.
You know, are also posted. So yeah, if you follow like Jack the Worm or NJLK Cat.
And then was it Holdenators?
Yeah.
Holdenators. Yeah, you can go look it on there. Look on their website. We'll be on Last Podcast Network and LPN. We'll have it all out there. Please, it'll be awesome. See them live. It's going to be fucking sweet.
It'll be great.
Next week, we're doing a spooky UK update. We got a bunch of different UK stories. If you got anything you want to submit, please, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you want us to cover at some point, but we got a patch of shit to get into because the spookiness is only just begun.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Congratulations, everybody.
Oh, I simply can't watch it anymore.
I hate you, King. I hate the King. I actually hate King Charles more than Queen Elizabeth.
Really?
He doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve it.
No.
But he waited for it for so long.
I know. But what does that mean? You just sit and fucking wait like a little pampered asshole.
He should have quit. He should have quit and walked away. Being a boogie boarder. do anything else.
Boogie Boarder.
What's the Harry, the other one?
Yeah.
Harry can't be a Boogie Boarder. He's the Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales.
We're trying to understand you.
It's been awesome.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.